It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In a highly anticipated news conference on Friday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell apologized for his role in the NFL's handling of the case involving Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice's assault of his then-fiancée. And in the wake of a string of domestic violence incidents involving NFL players, Goodell also vowed the league will mandate trainings on preventing abuse for all players and staff. What the trainings will entail remains to be seen. I'm joined now by phone by former NFL quarterback Don McPherson, who played for the Philadelphia Eagles and Houston Oilers from 1988 to 1990. After retiring from the NFL, Mr. McPherson founded several outreach and mentoring programs and regularly speaks on college campuses. Don McPherson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
What can the NFL do to reduce violent acts committed by players?
You know, I think there's very little they can do with regard to the players who are in the league now. And I think that's one of the things that has long been a problem for the league is trying to enforce off-the-field behavior of current players. Players come to the league with 22 years of socialized behavior and thinking on how they should behave, and that behavior is validated by the fact that they've made it to the NFL. And so there's a culture that exists within the league that is so far removed from Park Avenue and the ability for Park Avenue to monitor behavior.
So what can the NFL do? It's saying we're going to crack down on this. We're going to create programs. We're going to train people. So you're saying that it's a situation where if training doesn't work, then what will?
Well, what training is going to do for the league, and again, there's two things to look at. One is the current group of players and people who are in the league, and clearly what happened in Baltimore is evidence that not only do the players need training, but front office and even owners need training on how to deal with this kind of crime and crime in general, because the public is no longer going to stand for the kind of behavior that we're seeing. So the training that occurs with current players, staff and even management should include how to recognize and understand this kind of violence, but also all the whole string of violent incidences that we've seen, to understand it, to recognize it, how to report, how to protect victims. I think all those things are training that's going to occur under the folks that were brought in by the league a week and a half ago. Going forward, there needs to be a real statement from the league that says, and I'm going to be very specific here, that says a guy like Jameis Winston is not welcome in the NFL. That will help prevent future acts of violence within the NFL from players in the future, is that they need to set a standard for what kind of man they want in their league. And if a guy like Jameis Winston is welcome, because right now the debate is, has he slid from the first player drafted to the second or third round? No, he should slide from a guy who we want in our league to a guy we don't want in our league. And then the education needs to start to trickle down to that level where you're talking to college and high school student-athletes and kids in general, because that's when you start to change the larger culture, which is what Roger talked about. Is reaching a larger population by going down below the NFL.
Does the NCAA, are we not just talking about the NFL, but the NCAA as well? For example, Jameis Winston has a checkered past and recently was caught on tape making some extremely misogynistic statements that earned him a one-game suspension, which actually started out to be just one half of one game, and then they kept him out of all of last Saturday's game. That seemingly is not enough. So does the NCAA need to crack down to perhaps make players understand better what they need to do before they go to the NFL?
Yeah, and there are so many layers on, and just taking the Jameis Winston, I know it's piling on, but he's the quarterback of the national champion team that won the Heisman Trophy, so it's a legitimate discussion when he's had more than one offense. He didn't just get kicked off of Saturday last weekend's roster because he screamed obscenities. This is after his DNA ending up in a rape kit, and he's on tape stealing the infamous crab legs. This is not a guy whose behavior should be becoming. And here's the layers: that kind of behavior, being charged with a sexual assault, being or accused of a sexual assault, Seth on video, and then this behavior, if he were just an average student, he would be before some sort of judiciary board within the Florida state system that would be considering his expulsion from the institution. So you have the Florida state level, you have the institutional level, then you have the conference, the ACC should definitely be looking at this, and then you have the NCAA. And so, you know, there are so many levels at which whether it's an individual institutional law enforcement needs to start holding these young men accountable for the crimes they commit or for their behavior that we know leads to other things. And so especially when you have someone who's in such a public-facing position as a quarterback of a football team.
So is this more a matter of sports leagues knowing what needs to be done and the problem being that they are reluctant, the owners or those who run the NCAA, for example, because of all of the profit that is involved?
Well, just look at the result of everything that you and I are talking about and everything that everyone's talking about from Monday to Friday in the news, and Roger Holtz's press conference that was just a feckless performance. When you see all the nonsense that's going on and the gut-wrenching, whether it's the child abuse or the punch is going on, people are still showing up on Sunday, and people are still buying their DirecTV NFL package, and all those things are still going on. And so, yes, there is what's the impetus for the league to really get really serious about this, especially if it's going to result in them taking their product off the field, and that's the larger issue. This is not just an NFL issue. This wasn't an NFL issue before there was domestic violence that surfaced in the NFL, and it's not an NFL issue now. This is our culture. This is a societal problem, and because the fact of the matter is that we really don't care. No, people don't care if Jameis Winston's a bad dude down in Tallahassee. They want him. They're going to go out there and do their Seminole chop, and they want them to go beat Clemson. And he had a lot of support from people, and it started to wane because of the screaming on the desk. But the theft and the rape charge, those things didn't really bother people too much. They wanted them back on the field. This is a larger societal issue that we really need to come to terms with as a culture about the level of violence against women that exists, and our collective silence about it is really disturbing. It's being a light's being held on it right now by this case.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is former NFL quarterback Don McPherson, who has founded several outreach and mentoring programs. He speaks on college campuses. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a comment or question for Mr. McPherson, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Our email address is essph@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH, #EPLive. Again, the number to join the conversation with Don McPherson, 412-246-2002. In your playing days, Don, did the NFL talk to players about their expected conduct off the field?
No. There were a couple of major issues that when they occurred, there would be, you'd have someone come in and dress the team. Remember, by the collective bargaining agreement, there are only so many number of times you can mandate the players do anything that the league mandates. So we had a number, I think it was three men, and I'm sure it's probably more now, especially now with all of this, mandated meetings. So I remember we had a meeting about guns, and we had a meeting about drunk driving, and they bring in a state trooper and, talk about skid length and fatalities on the highway, all that stuff. I've been doing prevention work most of my adult life, nearly 30 years, even while I was playing professionally. A 90-minute session once a year it really doesn't do a lot to change behavior.
There seems to be more domestic violence incidents, and maybe we're hearing more about it because of the 24-hour news cycle, because of social media. How would you compare the rate at which we're hearing about abuse today as compared to 20 years or so ago, 25 years ago when you were playing?
Well, here's actually, I speak not as an athlete, but as an advocate, as an educator around this issue, is that the rate of violence has not change very much. What has changed are a number of things. One is, as I said, I'm a man doing work in the area of men's violence against women, which when I started in 1994 doing this work, my mentor Jackson Katz and just a few other men were out there doing it. Now there are a number of organizations, both here in the U.S. and globally, who are raising awareness about men's role in preventing all forms of men's violence against women. What that has done has really created, just as you're doing here, has created a dialogue and a discussion that has led to more women being believed, being supported, and then reaching out for that support because they know that their voice is going to be heard. Look at what's going on college campuses across the country now, where schools that historically have been able to kind of keep sexual assault quiet are now having to address the myriad of voices of women and men who are speaking out about the violence that goes on in relationships on college campuses. So there is this growing understanding of the problem that is raising awareness, and therefore more people are reporting, and that makes it look like there's a spike in the numbers. I can tell you that when I was playing both in Philadelphia and I played a number of years in the NFL and the CFL, these incidents were happening. And they weren't discussed, and all kinds of things were happening. I would always talk about bar fights that our teammates would get into, and you know, there'd be people in the media there. It didn't make the media. It didn't make the news because there was the sense that these were just boys being boys. The other thing that's happened is that now we have 24-hour, not just news, but 24-hour surveillance, whether it's a cell phone or a video or a camera in an elevator. Our lives are surveilled more than ever before, and that's bringing a lot more to the light of day.
You have been a vocal critic of gender roles in the past. So what needs to change in that area?
That's a long conversation, but I can tell you in very short order, one of the things that the women's movement did was it didn't all of a sudden tell women you can be athletic it didn't all of a sudden make women athletic and strong and have a strong voice politically and have a strong voice in government and other areas of our society where women have excelled over the last 30 years, 40 years because of the women's movement and laws like Title IX that have enabled women to demonstrate, not to all of a sudden gain these qualities, but to demonstrate that they're tough, they're strong, they can be leaders, all those things. Women were always those things. And we needed laws and we needed awareness to give women the opportunity to demonstrate it. The same thing has not happened for men. And we as men don't give each other permission, we say that being a man is being tough and strong. You don't cry. You don't show your emotion. Lots of don'ts. Right? Don't let them see you sweat. All those kinds of don'ts. And I always say we don't raise boys to be men. We raise boys not to be women because we always tell boys what not to be. And so my criticism of the gender roles is not so much that men are bad. It's that men we have been forced into this very narrow understanding of what it means to be a man, which means we don't show our emotions. We don't share our emotions. We don't express them. And emotions are tools that we deal with in life. And so, we teach this very narrow form of masculinity. And a part of that form of masculinity is violence. And it's also, in many ways, the oppression or the control of women. And that's what leads to that violence against women. And it also leads to our silence about it because, you know, it's not cool for a man to speak out about these things. Why is that? Well, because you're sort of, you know, being a traitor to men. Well, that's what maintains silence. When you say that speaking out about something that we all know is a problem makes you, you know, anti-man. I identify as a feminist. People think that's anti-man. It's not anti-man. I'm a feminist because I want men to be more whole people, not that narrow sense of masculinity that we've been raised with.
So if all men share these characteristics and we as men face these challenges, then what does it mean if you're a man who is also, on top of that, playing the very violent sport of pro football? How much does that ratchet up or exacerbate the problems that you're describing?
You know, I think that's the key is that you can still play. I love the violence of football. I was watching a game. I still cover college football as an announcer and an analyst. And I still love the big hit. I still love the game and even the violence of the game. I enjoy. That doesn't mean that I can't do that within the context of the game and be a gentleman. And this is the thing. most men, as I just described, that sort of form of masculinity I just mentioned, most men are that. Most men are loving, caring, sensitive, emotional people who aren't afraid to express it. Most men are. The problem is that when we publicly admonish people who do that, we raise boys to see a very narrow sense, which is why this affects college age men and younger men, or men like that we're talking about in the NFL, more so than older men. Older men, we get to the point where we go, you know what, I really can express myself. I really can tell my children that I love them. I really can be a father. I can be a parent. I can be more loving. That's what I meant, but we have to give men permission to step outside of that narrowness of masculinity and start embracing that wholeness, and there are a lot of men who do that. The problem is when we have this sort of bravado around the understanding of masculinity, that men who are vulnerable to that kind of behavior really wear as armor, as if you will, of who they are, because there's insecurities in a number of other ways. Like I said, this can get into a very complex conversation, but it's not, they're not mutually exclusive. You can play football and be tough and be a loving person and be a caring, sensitive person off the field, and that requires nurturing. That's why I say someone like Jameis Winston needs to be addressed now. He's a fantastic athlete, and he's just a brilliant athlete. But he needs a lot of attention right now with who he is as a person, as a whole person, and not just a quarterback at Florida State.
Sounds like he could certainly use a mentor like you. We're talking with former NFL quarterback Don McPherson, who after retiring from football, from the NFL and the CFL, joined the staff at Northeastern University's Center for the Study of Sport and Society before becoming the first executive director of the Sports Leadership Institute at Adelphi University. And he has, as you heard, identified himself as a feminist. He is a social activist who has founded several outreach and mentoring programs. And, Don, you were speaking just a moment ago about how we raise children, and there's this whole issue that ties in with the arrest of Vikings running back Adrian Peterson for striking his 4-year-old son. During an interview on Jim Rome's national talk show, Charles Barkley, who is a former NBA player and now an analyst, said that after explaining that corporal punishment was a quote-unquote Southern thing, Mr. Barkley insisted that, quote, every black parent in my neighborhood in the South would be in trouble or in jail under the circumstances that Mr. Peterson's arrest occurred. What about what Charles Barkley is saying here and this sort of attitude that some people have that where they feel they need to apologize for Adrian Peterson?
I think there's a and Charles is a friend of mine. We were together in Philadelphia when I was with the Eagles and he with the 76ers, and I've known Charles for since then, since the late 80s, and Charles says a lot of things that he thinks, and he's right to the truth that he's speaking. And the problem for that argument is that there are a lot of things that my father gave me spankings. My father hit us with his hand, and my father, you know, more so my brother than me, because I was a little smarter and a little younger and got away with things a little bit more. But yes, we all grew up in that. Not all of us grew up that, but previous generations grew up with a culture of behaviors that we today now know is wrong, and so. There are so many things. You know, for example, the title of the lecture that I give is "You Throw Like a Girl," right? And that's language that I heard all the time as a boy, and boys hear it all the time now. Is all this stuff, and we do know now that creates this attitude that's the worst thing you can call me. That's an insult, and that makes me think of girls and women as being less than me. Right, and so we know that there are a lot of things that we did and we grew up with that we would think as being normal. Doesn't mean it's right. And that's the part that I think around the Adrian Peterson piece that so many people are struggling with is because they say he was just disciplining his child. Well, I, if you just saw those pictures, you would say this is not just discipline. There are other ways to discipline than using violence to do so. And to say that it's a cultural thing, and I would, you know, very gently, because I'm not one of those people who likes to, you know, you know, go straight to the Hitler comparison or the the slavery comparison. But when Charles says it's a Southern thing, you know, there are a lot of Southern things that were okay years ago that aren't okay now. And so, you know, for Charles, we probably use that same argument about, hey, that needs to be put away because that was something of the past. Yes, as is this. And so there are a lot of things, and I'm not judging Adrian Peterson that the law will do that, because he was doing what he thought was appropriate. But I think if you look at it on his face, you look at what he did, not appropriate. And I think most people in our society, that's why we have laws. That's why, for example,
Don, I need to jump in because we're out of time.
Okay,
I want to thank you for a very enlightening conversation, former NFL quarterback Don McPherson. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.